Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a pina colada.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Oh.
Evening, Rob.
Evening.
Hello.
You're right.
You did a secret breath in then, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
you'd gone to sleep. You closed your eyes so we couldn't see you thinking.
I just thought... This will catch them off guard. Are we all right? Are we all right?
Have
we been up to much?
No.
Just me this time then.
Yeah.
So I went away last weekend, and you'll remember, well, you may not have remembered, that I got
on your bike.
Nope.
Did you on your bike? No.
We didn't actually know. So we went to County Durham.
Okay.
And we'd gone for a purpose because Gemma bought me Kinran, which is a show, and it's in a place called Bishop Auckland.
Yeah.
And it's Kinran, the show, is about the last 2,000 years of history, basically, in Britain. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely fantastic. What a show. The whole thing. So it's the last 2,000 years of history, all done outside, outdoors, with the Auckland Castle in the background, but with a prefabricated castle thing on the stage with a lake in front of it. You're all sat watching the show, and it had everything from it. Stunt performers, it had a cast of 1,000 actors. It had animals, mm-hmm. It had pyrotechnics, and it started, so because it starts in daylight, the show time actually changes each week to track with the sun setting.
So that the sun sets
at the right time every night.
Yeah.
And it was a story of a little boy called Arthur who meets his older self, who tells him that if he goes by the lake at midnight on this particular day, something will come out of the lake. It's something in Bishop Auckland. I don't know what to call it. It's like an archway, and it's quite famous. And this comes out of the lake, and he can go in it, and it'll take him back through history, and he'll get to see where he's come from, mm-hmm. you know. And that's how it starts. And it was absolutely brilliant. We're talking projection mapping onto the castle walls, which was incredible. Things came out of this lake. At one point, a Viking ship actually came up out of this lake, and the Vikings were stood, men, bald heads, and they had tattoos,
why are you looking at me?
Big guys, bald head, and were stood on this as it comes out of the water.
Wow.
And you're thinking, so were they holding their breath? How did they get on? How did they get onto it to be there when it came out the water?
Weren't they cold?
It was honestly incredible. 1,000 cast members, every single one of them, all volunteers. No one gets paid.
What?
It's a charity, and the charity obviously is there to provide this show to bring people into Bishop Auckland. And boy, it was absolutely amazing. So busy, but it was brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How many people are watching it?
I dare say 500-600 people.
And is it seated or is it like a grass bank?
No, it's seated. It's proper seating, tiered.
Yeah.
And you go in and there's a little walk round bit that you can go around, which is like through the eight.
Is it like an amphitheatre that you're sat in?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Was it a one-off show or
It runs over the summer every Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Over the summer, is it Friday and Saturday maybe, or it might just be Saturday? Just Saturdays. Every Saturday throughout the summer. And everyone that worked there, everyone are volunteers. and it was so well run, so well organised, absolutely brilliant. It's they're opening a new section next year, and it's more like a theme park. So because they've got a lot of land, and they've obviously made enough money that they're now creating this theme park that's not got rides. It's just
I was going to say, so is it like support the story?
No, they're completely separate. Each land, there's like each one's a land, and they tell stories from history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
what
I meant.
They don't support that story, but they are just different stories of in time. Because that's it's its own story that it has its own historical events. They're completely separate.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
It goes through the timeline. And honestly, yeah, absolutely incredible. So I would recommend anybody that wants to go and watch a good show.
Definitely.
Kinran. I highly recommend it.
I think I've seen it advertised on TV.
You will have. Yeah. They start advertising about Christmas time.
Right.
I think you were going to ask the same question. How much were the tickets? Were you going to say that?
I think it depends. In the middle, you got VIP. We went in the VIP section.
You were?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course you were.
You know Rob is.
All it meant was that you were in the more central view and the seats had cushions on them. That was it.
Yeah. Well, definitely
I love
it.
That really was the only difference. Honestly, I'm not going to sit and tell you everything, but it was absolutely fantastic.
Can I re-ask the question again, because you've still not answered it? How much was the tickets?
Oh, I think we paid £70 for a ticket.
For a cushion, right, okay.
What happens if it's raining?
You get wet.
The show goes on?
The show goes on, yeah, right. Carries on.
I must admit, when because I was messaging your wife, as you were going up or on your way up or day before, and she told me what you were doing, and so I searched it online and read up about it, and I thought, you know what, this sounds amazing.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't understand why he hadn't invited me.
Well, it was because it was a Christmas present.
Welcome to my club.
Yeah. It was a Christmas present. Well, I didn't get invited either.
I think Gemma just saw it and thought, oh, that'd be good. We'll go away in caravan. I'll book that.
Where is this again?
Bishop Auckland.
Where's that?
County Durham.
Is that in Ireland?
North-east.
No, it's just north. Just below Newcastle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just below Newcastle.
Okay. And it's an outside theatre, you said this?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a bit like the Scarborough one? Because they've got an outside...
Different. It was different because it was like it was more grass. But honestly, it had horses in it, geese, literally geese running in the
right... How did they get them to act? Have they got lines?
Obviously not.
No, but aren't they going meh, meh, meh?
They just ran along. You know, it was brilliant. They were jousting. They were pyrotechnics going off.
There were Viking ships coming up.
Honestly,
you should have been there. It was amazing.
You should
go
and
watch
it.
Men stood on it. They were coming out at water. Yeah. Mate, you missed it. Just
anyway,
such a good show.
So we went there, took the caravan. And then on the Sunday, we were a little bit like, what shall we do today? Because I went to working on the Monday, so we were going to go home on the Sunday. But some shift swaps happened and I ended up being off. And I was like, we may as well extend a stay and stay on the Sunday. So what should we do? And then while we were at Kinran, we looked on one at brochure at bottom. I just saw Beamish.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And thought, we have got to go to Beamish.
Yeah.
I have not been there for years. Have you ever been, Mark?
Beamish?
Yes.
No. Is it a brewery or something?
No.
Oh.
You've
lost me then, because I thought you were talking about the brewery.
No, Beamish is a museum. I think it's called the Museum of Life or something like that.
Museum of Life, right, okay.
And it's a very large farmland that they've built into small villages, and each village represents a moment in time. So they have buses, trams, and that's how you get around this whole place, park, whatever you want to call it. And like one of the areas is the 1900s. And 1950s, and when you when you get off the tram, everything there is 1950s. So there's a bank, there's a co-op, there's a dentist, there's a pub, there's a sweet shop, but everything's working. So when you go into the sweet shop, I'll go back to that in a minute. So you go into the sweet shop, and they are physically making the sweets in the back.
Hang on a minute. Why did you walk past the pub?
We didn't.
To the sweet shop?
You get to the pub later.
Right, okay.
And literally, you know, the old shop, we won't remember, you'll remember, Mark, the really high shelves where they have to get on ladders to get to the tubs, that sort of thing.
In Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
When they're sweet ones.
You go across to Co-op, and literally as the Co-op we know today, which was still then, and everyone's dressed in there as they would be in the time, and we'll talk to you about the history of what you do here and what they do if you came, you know, in for your, you know, they had like, they were the first people that ever created club card rewards sort of thing. You know, you went in, the more you spent, the more you, the following month you got 50% of that money back.
Well, I think they were more shield, what were they called? There were stamps.
Yeah, yeah, stamps and stuff. Yeah,
you have to Mark invented them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Green
Club Shield
what?
Things.
Yeah, whatever.
I used to
we went
them.
Into the bank and they were... and, you know, there'd be the bank clerk there who'd talk about money and all sorts of things. Little things like... Did you know that on the notes, bank notes,
yeah,
that every time there's a new monarch, they face a different way?
No.
So the Queen was facing to the... right, and the king is now facing to the left.
Right,
and every monarch changes direction apart from.
Why don't they have one looking up?
When it used to be kings, I think.
I think you're slightly wrong in that. In that, in the sense, as in, yes, the current king is facing the other way.
Yeah,
but only because he wants to face the other way. They don't alternate it.
No, it alternates.
No,
there's only one person.
I don't think that's true.
Well, the guy there. That's what he was telling us.
He put Henry VIII on them.
I know. There's only one person, one king, that didn't like that side of his face and actually said, no, I'm staying the same way as the other one. And the following king that came then had to do the same thing to put it back into the right...
Order.
Yeah. Right. So check your research, because I'm pretty sure he was right.
The only reason I knew that is because when I were reading about the King Charles ones...
Yeah.
And he were facing the other way. And I read it and I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And they were ready. And they were like, because he didn't want to face it the same way as the Queen. He wanted to face the other way.
Yeah, no, it's always been like that over time. Double check it.
I will
the other thing
it
I didn't realise is with money, the currency of money was the same in weight. So when you put a weight on one side of your scales,
yeah,
the currency of money that you used to talk about in being...
pounds and shillings.
Yeah, and shillings and whatever. The monetary value would add up to the same weight.
Yeah, because the idea is when currency was originally invented.
Yeah.
It was the actual currency was worth.
Yes, that amount.
The material value.
Thank you. Yeah. So if it was a I'm not very good at weights or whatever, but if it was an ounce of silver. Then fundamentally,
sorry,
that's what...
Mark, come on, explain this a bit, will you?
That's right, yeah.
But fundamentally, that's obviously what it
was. It was showing us on the scales. I never knew that.
Yeah, they only changed it purely because of the cost of...
Yeah. So Mark, we're like small sheep worth less than big sheep. Just like that.
Well, I used to trade horses in my time, but, you know.
So, yeah, but you progress through this village and there's a dentist. You go into the dentist and they're literally all the different apparatus that they would have back in the day. And there's a dentist there talking to you about how he would have took your tooth out back then.
Did you enjoy that?
Why you wouldn't have had your tooth took out because you couldn't have afforded it. You'd have gone to...
Turkey.
No. No. You'd have gone...
Butchers.
What did he say? Yeah.
To
the butchers and they took it out for you. They just pulled it out with a pair of pliers.
But you skimmed over it. Did Gemma... enjoyed the dentistry.
She loved that bit, yeah. She really did. But then the pub, you could go in and they make ales from the time and you can buy pints, whatever. Port pies.
You're paying old money?
No.
Oh,
no,
you
no.
get absolutely you, hammered for you, a fiver. Yeah.
you can absolutely pay, you have to pay on your card.
I bet something they didn't do in the pub. Mm. Right. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Back in the old days of pubs, they used to have... drip trays, where you know when they used to pull pints, it used to fall into this tray and then go back into the barrel.
Yeah,
obviously they don't have them anymore.
No,
so
they
I
do.
Guess
well, they do.
Do they still have them?
Yeah.
Have
a look behind the bar, Mark.
I used to do it in my pub.
No, yeah, but no, I'm talking about now.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah. Where does the beer go otherwise? On the floor
for hand pulls and stuff, especially.
So you're saying so these trays then? Hang on, this is new information.
They don't put it back in the bit, or they're not supposed
that's
to put it back in the
bit. That's
what
he was on about.
You weren't about to recirculate it.
Yeah, it goes back in the barrel,
No, you're not supposed to do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it happens anywhere.
I did. I put it in the mild.
Have you been to a Wetherspoons?
But you know what I'm saying? Where they used to pour it off, you used to go into a tray, and then you used to go back into the... And they used to,
sorry.
But obviously, you could spill and you spit it and all go back in.
They don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. Although they're trying to reenact that, they wouldn't be able to reenact it because they'd be breaking law, wouldn't they?
But then there's there's 1950s and you're going to 1950s houses, which the kind of psychology behind it, you realise.
Hang on. You've come out of the pub.
Yep.
And he's in the 1950s.
No.
Has
it closed?
No. We came out of the pub. Hold on. Came out of the pub, jumped on a tram and went to the 1950s. And in 1950s, they've built houses from the 1950s, right? But actually, to us, that's not really a big deal because you walk in it thinking, well, my grandma's house looks like this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But
what were the pubs like?
Well, they weren't a pub in 1950s. They were a community hall, but that had a band on, actually.
What was the community hall like? Did they sell beer?
About 1950s. But the interesting thing was that Beamish was built in the year 1900. So what was normal to them back then, to us now, it's literally a living museum. It continues to change and adapt with the years. So at the minute, the highest it goes up to, I think, is 1950. They're just building now 1980. They're just starting to build 1980.
Are they not doing 1960?
I don't think they have. I think the 50s must have combined in it. Because they only do... They really separate time. It's not like... look, the one before it was 1950. And the time then was quite... In fact,
the one before 1950 was 1950.
Sorry. One before 1950 was 1900. So it was a 50-year gap.
Right.
But 80s, I think they're seen as it's quite a step up in technology and everything. So go on, Mark, before you explode.
Yeah, but aren't they doing a 1970s house? Because that's completely different from a 60s and 80s house.
I know that, but they don't do it every 10 years. So they saw the biggest step up was from 1950 was 1980. So that's what they decided to do.
It weren't.
So they're building 1980. But what I mean is when we go now, we go 1950, that's interesting. But I have seen that and I have seen that. But fast forward 40 years, 50 years, and the people are seeing that same 1950s, they won't recognise it because houses will probably maybe not in 50 years, but they'll be starting to, they'll all been updated, won't they? They'll probably not look like they do now and won't have the internals
like they did back then.
Yeah. So it is literally a living kind of museum. Yes, Mark?
You said I could go, and then you interrupted me. You won't let me go. So when you're in the pub, Mark's ears are pricked back up. When you're in the pub, what beers, were they selling beers from 1960?
Well, the beers...
No, because it's not been invented yet, 1960s.
They were making beers that were from that time. So there's a brewery that nearby that makes beers for Beamish. That are of recipes from that time.
Can you remember some brand names on there?
Because the brand names are just the brand names from that. They're just made to recipes that replicate those brands.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
It's kind of.
They can't say it's that beer if it's not made by that brewery.
Well, I know.
So changed, but the beer would taste similar to what they were making.
So can you see the brewery in action then?
No, because the brewery's nothing to do with Beamish. It's a completely different company. They make the beer for them and take it to the pub.
Okay.
So you've got 1900s, you've got 1950s, you've got a farm which is from 1870, I think, which is the farm and how they used to live. And again, you can go in and look at how they lived. And then there's an actual working mine with the only, you know, the... steam engine that brings the lift up and down.
Yeah.
The only working steam engine in the UK. Because all the others use electric motors to replicate what it does. So it's all the moving parts, it's run by an electric motor, whereas this was actually steam. So listen, if you haven't been to Beamish, honestly, another place.
It sounds great.
Funnily enough, interestingly, one of the buses that takes you around, which was from 1920-something, was from Rotherham. Even had Rotherham on the front on the thing, and if you looked on the inside, there's a little plaque with Rotherham Metropolitan Council. Really? Yeah, and that was going round a blue and cream and blue bus. Amazing. Honestly, it's a real. Aina would really like it because it's really looking back into history.
When you said it had Rotherham on the front, you meant as
where it's going,
as a destination.
Basically. Yeah, and on the side.
Do you know what they call that?
What?
Do you know what they call it?
No.
Mark,
a bus.
No, when they've got the location, because they used to turn them, didn't they?
Then they
became electronic. Do you know what they call them?
No.
Bus blinds.
Oh.
Bus blinds.
Blinds, okay.
Do you remember when buses used to have the little PPO thing for the driver?
Whoa,
to
whoa, 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 whoa.
What? You mean...
Well, PPO. We called it that because I used to piss down it.
You're talking about the
glass telescope.
Like a periscope.
Yeah.
At the front.
Yeah, and you used to look down, you could see top of bus driver's head.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I used to wee in it.
I thought they had a glass. Could you... Because there were glass over it, front of it. Mm.
They weren't when you took it off. Or when it...
How did you get
bear in mind, you couldn't do this to every bus, but certain buses... By the way, I weren't a total rebel. I only did it once. But it were cracked and...
Hang on a minute. Weren't the driver going, what's happening here? Why are you peeing on my head?
Why is it always raining?
So it just fills up.
He's looking up and he's going, oh, it's a bit murky up there.
It was probably a 90s thing. I mean, I were only a little
90s.
Thing.
You're much taller now, aren't you?
Yeah. But no, so I would
I'm putting in that on my to-do list.
Do it.
I am, definitely.
It was
weeing down a peepee in a bus.
Yeah, that's what Beamish. I'm thinking. Well, so why is he doing that?
Beamish. It sounds like something I'd enjoy as well.
Yeah, I thought most of you would have done it because we went
never
with school. Have you not?
No, never heard of it.
We went with school.
Never heard of it.
So it's £35.
Oh,
that's
marked out.
That's for the year.
Yeah, if I get a full day out, I mean,
there's a lot of museums that do that now, and places where you pay to go in, but it's like an annual admission.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing, bear in mind, me and Gemma went for the full day, and we only saw half of it. So we're going to go again now. We're going to take the caravan and we'll go again because there's so much more to see.
Mark wants to go, but he's only going to see one bit of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's kicking out. It's like, what? Yeah. Come on, it's 1950.
Yeah.
35 quid.
They did do pork pies and they looked fantastic. We just ate and I was like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, is lunch included in that 35
No, no. But you're going to a cafeteria, which is from the area. Right. Do you know what? Gemma got a cheese sandwich. The cheese was thicker than the bread. I've got a picture I'll show you after this.
Have you got any video of this?
I think I've got a video of the bus and the trams, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I didn't take much more because you're in the moment looking at it. But anyway, I don't want to drag on about it. If you've not been to Beamish, I highly recommend it. And if you want to go and watch a show, go and watch Kinran. There we go.
I'm going.
Anybody else done anything?
No, but you do realise what's happening in 5 days' time.
Is it what you're doing?
Yes.
Is he off to Disney? Aren't
I
you?
Am.
Oh god.
5 days. 5 days, boys. 5 days.
Days. Yeah. I'm guessing you're excited.
I'm very excited.
I would be as well.
Very excited. Very, very excited.
The one ride that you are most excited to go on. I don't want the
You've just popped my brain.
One ride.
Is it?
Oh,
are you going to say one you've already been on? Or one, this is it. Well, can we have one you've already been on?
Okay, all right.
One you've been on, one you're looking forward to.
Looking forward to going back on.
Yeah.
That I've been on before that I absolutely loved, and as far as I'm concerned, is the best ride I've ever been on.
Tower of Terror.
No. Is Avatar Flight of Passage.
Yep.
100%.
It's mind blowing.
New rides that are out there.
Yeah.
Am I saying Disney? Can I have a Disney and a Universal one? Yes, or just in general?
No, both.
So Disney one, I think, would be Tron.
Yeah. Ooh.
If I fit.
Ooh.
Right. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, possibly. But everyone's just raving so much about Tron, especially at night. Throughout at night.
Oh, I can imagine. We'll be LED strip lighting.
Yep.
Universal, the new Ministry of Magic.
Well, someone said the ride there is the best ride that they've been on in Florida. Speaking of Tron, have you seen there's a new trailer for the new Tron film?
I haven't seen any of the new ones.
Well,
bear in mind, it's not a franchise. It's not a franchise.
Continuing story. It's a separate.
Yeah, the last film was made 8 years ago.
Right.
Is that how old it is?
Yeah. 7 or 8 years ago. This is a complete new refresh makeover of the whole franchise.
So is it like watching a Spider-Man but with another Spider-Man again?
I think they're going down a completely different direction with it.
Can I just ask you something? You know the one that came out 8 years ago, Tron?
Yeah.
Was that a remake of the original Tron from the 1980s?
Yes.
This is a completely different thing.
Jared Leto's playing the lead.
I thought the new Tron was a sequel.
I've not seen him because
I thought it was a continuation.
When I watched the trailer, it didn't appear that way, but maybe it is.
Right.
Which, actually, you're right, because there is one of the guys I was like, oh, I think he's in the last one. So maybe you're right. It just didn't seem that way. Mm. He didn't. But Jared Leto's probably the lead in it.
There is one thing that I am gutted about Disney.
What's that?
Well, it's actually about Universal. And it's actually Mark's fault.
Oh, okay. You mean the other Mark?
No, you.
Why is it
my
fault?
What do I know about Universal?
Why is it my fault?
So, my favourite nighttime show.
Oh.
Because you know the parks have different shows and stuff
like that. Right. Okay.
My favourite one, when I went last time, was a show in Universal called Something like that. And it was... Honestly, look, I know I can be a bit, like, wear me out on my sleeve and a little bit, you know, emotional or whatever. But please believe me when I say, Mark, right? I have seen a lot of shows in my time, and I've seen a lot of firework displays and a lot of shows and very impressive things. I stood, and as I watched that show, tears were rolling down my face.
Which one was it? Was it one with the fountains going off and
in the water,
onto it?
It hit me so, like, deep how... well it was done, how well it was produced, everything about it. It was the best show I've ever seen in my life. I wanted to go back and watch it a second time, but these wouldn't let me. And we were far too busy, apparently. So,
Well, we were busy trying to find Rob's glasses.
Ever since I've seen that show, I've been so desperate to watch it again. And I was so excited to watch it again and so excited to see the kids watching it.
Has it been cancelled?
It's not on. During the time that I'm there, it's not on.
Well, it's not on. The reason why you're blaming me is because it was me that's told you. The reason it's not on is because Halloween Horror Nights is on.
So, Halloween Horror Nights were on when we were there. Last time.
Well, I know, but... Listen, I'm not the director of who shows.
Anyway, while I was in Bishop Auckland, went into a bookshop. And I found...
Back to Rob with...
Hang on a minute. You went into a bookshop?
Yeah.
Was that before or after the pub?
This was the day before we went to Kinran.
Okay.
And I found a game. Now, we're not going to play the game, but it's called What Would You Do?
Ooh.
And I thought there'll be some good questions here for you guys.
Okay.
So, settle in.
Okay. Settle in.
I've got some questions for you to answer. Okay.
More questions.
Am I going to struggle with them?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Right, okay,
and the
cool.
First one. He's very apt. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
You win £1 million, but you only have 7 days to spend it all before it vanishes. What would you do?
Spend it.
Well, absolutely.
You mean, what would we spend it on?
Oh, yeah. Well, right. I mean it doesn't give me a breakdown of how you answer the question, but you win £1 million, but you only have 7 days to spend it all before it vanishes. What would you do?
Right, okay, right. So we're not, I get you. So we're taking it literally as at face value, as opposed to going, well, I will do this and do so, yeah.
Yeah.
Who should we go to first?
I think you'd find it the easiest, Kirk, to answer this question.
Yeah, Kirk would.
Well, are we allowed to buy houses?
You can do whatever the hell you want. You've got 7 days to spend it, or it goes, it's gone.
Well, that for me, it's house.
Yeah.
Buy parents' houses.
Oh, that was very kind.
And buy a nice car. Book an holiday. Done.
How much have we won, sorry?
£1 million.
Well, I think it's similar to Kirk's. I mean, you know, I'd give it something to Ethan. I'd give, obviously, some money to Ethan type thing. I'd buy a nice car, you know, a house. Then my family, my brothers... And then you and then my friends. I mean, I've only got a small circle of friends.
Yeah.
So I'd obviously give some money to you guys.
Yeah. Just because, I'll come to me. What would you say, Mark?
What's the average price of a pint?
That's £7 these days, isn't it?
That's a lot of pints, isn't it?
It is a lot of pints.
Yeah. But how long has he got before he vanishes? Seven days.
7 days.
Yeah, I think Mark could be all right.
I'd give it a good kick.
I think Mark could do it in 5 days. With beer.
Anything in particular you do?
I think all the obvious ones are quite boring, sensible answers, aren't they?
Yeah.
What about you, Rob?
Well, I think the interesting thing is it's not a lot of money.
No.
And that's the difference between normally when you say what would you do if you won the lottery.
That, sorry, it's just reminded me. You know that house near your mum and Rachel's that I've always said that I want?
Yes.
On corner?
Yes.
It's up for sale.
Is it?
I went past it the
other day.
It's up for sale.
How much is it?
It's 400 grand.
Oof. That's overpriced.
I don't know. It's lovely. Anyway, sorry. Just reminded me then about buying a house. I was wondering how much I'd spend on one.
It's interesting to say what you'd do if you won 100 million. Because you're like, oh, I'd buy a yacht and I'd buy this and I'd buy that. A million. And also taking into consideration that none of you, you know, none of you chose to give any to charity or give anything to,
you gave to
parents. But because why would you? It's a million. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to say that I'd give everyone a bit of the money. You might get a little bit, but a million, I could spend it in a day. Do you know what
really?
I mean? Mm. You could literally wipe a million out like that. Yeah. It almost made me think, how old is this game? A million?
Yeah.
It's nothing.
You're right, it's not, but...
I could retire. Well, we could retire on a million.
I could retire on a million. I could easily retire on
a million.
Well,
you could.
I could.
Yeah.
I could easily.
Yeah, but you're happy living here.
I just live a simplistic life.
Yeah.
No, whether that would be travelling or doing whatever, it would just be such a...
Which I get that, but if you've got a part like, for instance, me, that doesn't own a house or whatever and would be stupid to have that kind of money and not buy a property, you know, even if it was for future, you know, inheritance or whatever, asset-wise. So, for instance, me with a million, let's say even conservatively, £250,000 to £300,000 of it's gone just buying a house.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Do you get what I mean? So, what I'm saying is... when
You don't. I have to spend 250 to 300.
Oh, nowadays you do.
You don't.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I mean, to get a, I mean, maybe not that much, but not far.
Well, it depends on where you settle, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Because I could spend £1 million on a house.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't retire if I won a million. I would use it to pay off all my debts and live a more comfortable life. I'm not having to worry about that, and I'd still work.
I mean, if you were in London, for example.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't have got £1 million. You'd be lucky to buy a two-bedroom apartment for that.
Yeah.
So, because it's ridiculous.
Okay, moving on to the next question.
You have to have a word with Angela Rayner about buying properties.
Yeah, and she knows how to save her taxes.
You wake up one morning and you find that you've swapped bodies with the UK Prime Minister. You have 24 hours before you return back to your own body. What would you do? I think we kind of may have answered this question not that long ago.
Yeah, I can answer it really quickly.
Yeah.
If we don't want to go into a massive debate about
it.
I'd resign.
Because it's just such a difficult job. Is that what you're basically saying?
No, it means that we'd get rid of him.
Oh.
If I was in his body, which means I could behave like the Prime Minister, I'd resign.
Yeah,
but you'd only get rid of him. You wouldn't get rid of Labour.
No,
I'd resign in such a way that people would have to. There'd have to be a general election.
How would you do that?
I'd find a way.
Because obviously, as you know, if the Prime Minister goes, it's like he did say David Cameron, Conservative stayed in power. It's just that he went and Theresa May came in.
What day of the week is it?
I mean, I'm getting technically.
I'd resign.
You've only got 24 hours, so you can't start a...
What day of the week is it?
Well, let's say it's a Monday.
Can you say it's a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday.
What? Right, so if it's a Wednesday...
You're off to the pub.
I'd get up very early, and I'd get all my party, and I would give them strict instructions that when we go into PMQs, Prime Minister's Questions, that morning, we would go live on camera, and we would all perform Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, he stands up and stands up to the ballot box and he opens his book and he goes, "I see a little silhouette of a man." And everybody behind you,
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, shall we do the fandango? And you know the crazy thing about that, right, is actually your approval rating would go up.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah? Yeah. Because you become relatable.
And then you get so far in and then Jack Black would walk in playing a guitar.
or his plastic sax.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one.
You don't come to me.
Go on, Matt. What would you do?
I'm not going to do it down the controversial realm one and start saying I'd do this policy and that policy, because that's a bit... I'd keep it light-hearted. So what I would do is I'd just do what I want a politicians to be. I'd just be honest. So if they're asking me questions going, what are you going to do about this? I'd go, I don't really know. I ain't got a clue. Or if they asked me about this, I'd go, well, I'd like to do that, but I can't do that because the media are doing this. And I'd just be honest.
Just be honest.
Because no politicians are really, truly, truly honest, are they? None of them. I mean, I know some are better than others, but I would just be 100% truthful.
Yeah,
and it would just throw.
They still won't believe you.
They would just throw everybody off because, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It would because they'd be like, really? I'd be like, well, yeah, but we can't do that because we haven't got enough money.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this because I don't think that. And they'd be like, what? That's what I'd do. I'd just be honest and see how people would react to it.
I think if I were to do it, I'd buy a nice suit and do me hair and just stand up there and show them that not all prime ministers have to look like twerps and wear ridiculous. Stupid clothing and have their hair in stupid hairstyles and well, do you know I mean well, they never particularly look great.
You'd wear
did they?
Shoes with no socks, wouldn't you?
Probably. I'd just not look like they all look. It's like they all buy from the same shop and have their hair cut same barbers and it's like come
really?
On boring. Right, next question. You ready?
Yeah.
Did they get any better?
Yeah. You go to a friend's house and accidentally clog their toilet and there is no plunger in sight. What do you do? And we've all been faced with this, haven't we?
Am I wearing socks?
We'll say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you coming out of the toilet or are you just stuck in the toilet? Can you come out of the toilet and go somewhere? What?
Well, I mean, it was in the question mark.
Yeah.
You go to a friend's and you accidentally clog their toilet and there's no plunger in sight.
Yeah, I know there's no plunger.
I understand the question, but I think that actually it'd make it a more interesting question if you was at a stranger's house.
Yes.
Because if I was
your
at
boss's
a friend's
house.
If I was at a friend's house, then I'd just go, Rob, I've clogged your toilet.
I've done a massive dump, I've clogged it.
You're at a stranger's house.
You get your gaffers invited you around for a barbecue.
You're at a stranger's house, someone that you don't know very well.
I'd get my hand in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever had to do that?
Yes.
Oh.
I remember doing a job at someone's house.
Is that what you call it?
A job?
I was little.
That's what they call them in Scotland, jobbies.
Yeah, jobbies. I used to call it a jobby. And the only thing I got on me was my screwdriver.
Oh. So you stabbed it to death?
Yeah. I had to break it up. It was a proper log. And it just won't go down. It were like, honestly. And I'm like, no, I've got to break this up. Thinking, Juffin, hell, it's tough as out this.
I know a girl that we all know, and I'm not going to name her, but we all know around this table.
Yeah.
And I once watched her cut one of her jobbies up with a card, like a debit card, to get it down the toilet.
Jesus.
When you say she cut it up, that sounds like she got it on a chopping board.
No,
I'm more perturbed at the fact that you watched her do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
What would you do, Mark?
What I would do is I'd go to the kitchen, get some clean film.
Oh, yeah.
I'd put it over the toilet and flush the toilet and the vacuum would suck it down. Creates a vacuum. The only reason I'd say that is because I've done it before.
Really?
And it works.
I never knew that worked.
It does work.
I just thought you put the cling film on, put the seat down, and walk away.
Well, you can.
And then wait till the next person comes, makes an absolute mess.
That's the second part. You just leave it.
It's when Mark's running around this stranger's kitchen looking for cling film.
With his trousers and round his ankles.
So, what are you looking for? Cling film. Why?
I've got some sausage rolls that I need wrapping up.
Oh dear.
Okay, next one.
Have we asked Mark?
Oh no, sorry.
You always miss some of us out.
Sorry.
What would I do?
You do know you'd had time to think while me and McCurry were telling us.
I know.
Well, while you're thinking, what would you have you said what you'd do, Rob? Because I don't think you've said.
Well, I said I'd use me. Well, I wouldn't have a screwdriver, would I?
No.
Do you know what?
Just leave it.
Stranger's house. Yeah, leave it.
Leave it.
Blame it on someone else.
This stranger, have they got children?
No.
Oh. Because if they got any, like, bath toys and that, I'd decorate it.
Putting Lego characters on Little Pooh Island.
Like a rubber duck riding a log flume.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Right, okay, next one.
Yes, Rob's not going to answer it.
You realise... You realise mid-argument that you're actually wrong.
Oh,
but
hang
you
on a
don't
minute.
Want to admit defeat. What would you do?
Would you carry on being married?
Well, we don't need to cut a Kurt because we know he's always right.
I once thought I were wrong, but I were mistaken.
Although he is wrong sometimes. What it depends on who you're having the argument with, I suppose.
Yeah,
if it's somebody like somebody in a shopper or somebody a stranger or whatever, then you just carry on and you just you stick your dig heels in.
It was your wife? You
know, if it were my wife, that, and I realised I were wrong, I'd stop and go, hang on a minute. I think I'm wrong.
I think I'd do that. All joking aside, I genuinely think I'd do that.
That's what I would do.
If I realised I were wrong halfway through an argument.
I don't have a problem saying when I'm wrong. And I'll say it to my friends, I'll say it to my family. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
It depends how mischievous I am feeling at that moment.
All right.
Because there are times, and if I said anything to the contrary, Helen would be like, are you for real? So Helen would say it's very rare that I would admit that I've said something wrong in an argument with her. We've had quite a few days of silence when that's occurred. However, if I'm a bit mischievous, I'll have a bit of fun with it. But as you get older and wiser, you sort of got tail between your legs. I'm really sorry.
I mean, I would say to that is that I think it makes you a better person if you say that you're wrong and you are wrong, you admit it.
Yeah.
I think it just makes you. I know it's hard to say it, but it's just.
I absolutely agree, mate.
Can I answer it for Rob? Go on, Mark. Sorry, what were you going to say?
If it depends on how serious the thing is, but if it's like a bit of an argument and it's sort of I end up laughing.
Yeah.
When I know that I'm in wrong.
Yeah.
Right, before you tell us what I'd do, I'm going to whisper to Mark what you're going to say, right? And he's got to tell us that I've got it right.
Okay. I think we'd word it different though, Rob.
Yeah.
I think we'd word it differently.
Is Rob saying, talking about what you... Is Rob whispering to Mark...
What he'd do.
What he would do.
Yeah.
Or what you would do. Because I'm getting confused now.
So, Rob's just told Mark...
Yeah, he's just been licking my ear.
Rob's just told Mark what he would do. And now I'm going to say what I think Rob would do.
Right.
So Rob's guessing that I'm going to get it right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think we'd word it differently.
Well,
Because the best way that I would do it is you try and walk it back.
You mean backpedal?
You try and walk the argument back, realising you're wrong, but don't want to admit you're wrong.
Yeah.
So therefore you start walking it back and creating little subplots and sub-stories out of it to how you can make it back so you are right, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there is another
word.
It's
kind of what Rob said. Yeah, there are other making words. Up little lies to the make up lies.
Yeah.
That,
I just lie.
Yeah.
I just come up with... A way that meant that it was right.
I learnt this about Rob.
Is this what you do with everyone?
No.
To everyone?
Well, yeah, pretty much. If I'm wrong, don't get me wrong.
Christ.
If I am wrong with certain things, I'll just go, sorry, I didn't realise you meant that.
With banknotes?
You're wrong about that. I would just go, no. But you know, if there's something that's just, it's just small, it's just like, and I'm adamant I'm right. I will get to a point where I think I'm right about it somehow.
Rob hates it, right, when I call him out on it. Because I started calling him Rob Facts. Are these real facts or Rob Facts?
Well, you said it in podcast before.
And he'll say it, and he'll say something like, I read it on or I saw it on whatever, and I'll go, where? Show me. Show me. Show me. Because I can see it. I can see it in his face when he's got to a point.
And his eyes glaze over.
Yeah, I can see it in his point where he's said something with so much conviction. Yeah. He's doubled down on it. He's realised that it might not be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
But he's in it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's not something... It's not like an important thing that I'm talking about, Mark. It's like little... You know, you
like
just...
Like the banknotes.
No. You've talked about something that's just... You know, you've said something that you've seen somewhere. But I'll have only half said the actual truth of what it was.
Well,
but
say
then
again, back
I'm
notes.
Adamant that I'm right.
No, so Jem, I definitely put the handbrake on. I did. It just rolled off on its own.
And then I'll backtrack to try.
Somebody's
and,
cut the brake.
So I'm not necessarily completely wrong. I'm only a bit wrong. That's what I do. It's lie's not the right word, but it's like making it kind of fabricating it to try and suit you so you're not completely wrong.
You've stepped into the role, Rob.
probably. Yeah.
Give it an example.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
You're at a yoga class and doing a downward dog when you let out a thundering fart.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I won't be at a yoga class with her. I mean,
can't even say it. He thinks he's at a yoga glass.
I think in that instance, I'd just laugh. You just have to, wouldn't you? You just have to earn it.
As people acknowledge that it's you that's farted.
Well, they're looking round. They think it's you. I'd do the exact thing. I'd turn around and act the same.
I would.
Terrible behaviour, that. I'd look behind me to whoever behind me.
Which one's
me.
The downward dog?
You up?
Which one's the downward dog?
Where you on all fours.
Yeah.
And then you... No, your chin or face,
your face.
Right down on
no,
the floor.
No, sure, mate.
Right, for the benefit of the tape, Rob is on all fours now. With his arse in air.
Chin up,
and
chin
his,
up.
And his face on his,
so
on his
looking
face
at that
on floor.
Position, then your cheeks are apart, so the noise is not there, is it? Right, okay. So that's a silent one, isn't it? I'm getting away with that one, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Well, it depends who's near me, because if it's people that know me, we'll be like that. Mark, really?
Absolutely.
But it depends how big your ass is as to whether your cheeks would be apart.
Mine would be apart. And I'd probably end up like surfing across the room. I'd just end up cracking up laughing.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine you just laugh, wouldn't you?
More tea, Bishop.
I'd definitely be looking behind me and say, disgusting that.
Yeah.
That behaviour.
Somebody else is
blaming it on the person behind me.
Yeah.
I can't let that pass, by the way. You know it's more tea, Vicar, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
What is?
He's just said more tea, Bishop.
And if anybody else around this table had said something that stupid, he'd have jumped on it. Like,
I didn't hear that.
Well, he did say it, and I'm thinking, I'm sure it's not Bishop, but it must be. I thought he can't be Bishop. But
I only said it for Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, next. You're due to appear on a game show, but use the wrong door in the studio and are mistaken for a contestant on a national talent show. You've had no time to prepare your act and are about to go on stage. What would you do?
Well, I'd sing. I mean, not that I'd, you know, do any good job nowadays, but I'd sing.
Yeah. Mark?
Oh, God, what would I do? I can't think of any talent.
Striptease?
What I could do.
Striptease?
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to do an act. You go out, walk out, and all of a sudden you stood in front of the Britain's Got Talent.
I think I would. I ain't got a talent as such, so I'd just talk about me and just fumble along, and people
on
would
this
go,
day.
This is.
Can you imagine Mark?
We've
going
got
out.
Cole Pilkington.
Can you imagine Mark walking out and standing in front of Mike and being doing his face like looking around?
Wanna be here then?
And I'm going. So what are you here for? And you go.
I'm
here for a game show, but I don't know how I've ended up on here. They'd end up thinking it was part of an act, and he'd end up getting golden buzzer.
Yeah.
Well, he would end up getting golden buzzer.
Well,
as a comedian.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't walk off, or I'd just stand there and go.
They think
well,
you're a
Cole
Pilkington impersonator.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'd just sort of run with it.
Yeah. What would you do, Mark?
Do you know, you've really put me on the spot.
Well, literally, you're on the spot for your audition.
I don't know. The first thing that came into my head, I'd be like, I haven't got any talents. So I just, if I was to do anything, I'd probably walk on and then try to do a mime act. and just do that.
I genuinely think it'd be a mixture of Kirk's and Mark's. I think I'd walk on and I'd honestly, I'd be like, oh, sugar. And I'd smile, I'd walk to the front, and I'd say, so, it appears something's gone wrong here, because I was meant to be going through a door over there to a game show, and I've walked through this door, and I've ended up on this stage in front of you lot. They'd all be laughing a little bit, and I'd go, but, as I'm here, I may as well do something for you, aren't I?
Yeah. Twinkle, twinkle.
Turn on the charm, and I'd probably go with a song. I'd probably sing, but I'd pick something that would... I don't know, that would play on my character a little bit.
Always look on the bright side.
And just wing it and just hope I could get through it. But I think sometimes in those moments, if you did something like that, you'd probably stand more of a chance because you wouldn't have all the nerves. Mm. You've not had the time to process that.
Yeah. And overthink things.
Yeah, and overthink things. Yeah. You're just there. It's like, what are you going to sing? You're like, do you know what I think I'd end up singing? Valerie. And the only reason why I say that is because when I went to I was put in that same position. When I auditioned for a film, The Last Days of Edgar Harding, I went to the casting and I'd gone in there with the script and I did the script and they went, great, Rob. They went, can you sing? And I went, a bit, yeah. Brilliant. Can you sing us a song? And I went, yeah, what can you sing? I was like, I'd not even thought I would have to sing in this audition. And the first thing that came to my head, because I was listening to it on the way, was Valerie. I was listening to the Zooton. Is it Zooton's version?
Yeah, Zooton. The original is, yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, no music, no backing, just went out a cappella and did it. And it actually went really well. I thought so. Probably if I heard it back, it would probably be awful. But that's what I would do, something like that, and just wing it. And hope for the best. It can't go bad, can it?
No.
You wouldn't have thought you were going to get there. Okay. You are the only witness to a bank robbery. The robber got away and learned, and you learn that they immediately gave half of the stolen money to a local charity.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
I'd go and rob the local charity.
Read the question again.
Okay, so you're the only witness to a bank robbery.
Okay.
The robber got away, and you learned that they immediately gave half the stolen money to a local charity. What would you do?
So
it's a bit of a predicament,
well,
isn't it?
Well, although I've witnessed it, I still don't know who the robbers are.
Well, no, but I'm guessing you've witnessed them to a point where you could pull them out from a lineup, or you could even say,
right,
I know that. And I think the point he's asking is, would you grass them up?
Yes, I would. You,
yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because they shouldn't be giving it to charity. That's why I'm guessing. What a waste
of money. They gave half it to me.
Yeah.
No, I'd grass them up.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
What would you do, Mark?
I'd say, so there were two blokes and they split the money in half. One ran that way and I don't know where the other one went. He's got half the money.
The one that didn't give it to charity.
There isn't another one.
Oh, I didn't get it then.
So the one that's taken, he's got half the money.
Yeah.
So I've grassed him up.
But you've said this.
The other one doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That's a good way of looking at it.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tough one for me, that. Because doing the right thing, don't always get you, don't always work. So I think I'd just, do you know what? If I grassed on him, they'd take the money off the charity. So I'm not really bothered that he's got the money. But I guess it depends what, it were a bank, weren't it?
Yeah, but it's still wrong.
Yeah, I know, but
if everybody were robbing banks,
yeah,
there'd be a big problem.
Yeah, all the banks would be, oh yeah, they are.
Yeah,
you know that is, don't you? You know you're blamed for that. The rich.
Where do you stop? So, somebody's broke into Mark's house.
Yeah.
And nicked his life savings that he hides under his mattress. Sorry.
that he hides in his back pocket.
nicked his life savings. But it's okay, they give off to charity.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you draw the line?
I think you...
They're not going to get much with £3, are they?
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes we what's the word? Not humanise. We dehumanise it's all right because it came from a bank. The bank can afford it. You know, or it's in someone's house. Oh, well, that poor person, they've lost that money. Do you know what I mean?
It's
a bit like
saying shoplifting.
When people shoplift, they go, "Well, I'm not doing out bad because the companies can afford it. I'm not stealing from the shop. I'm stealing from the, you know, they think it's a victimless crime, but it isn't.
Ultimately, I think I would come to the same conclusion that you did, but I think it would take me longer. Mm. I think I would be going, "Oh yeah, but if I let them know, they'll lose that," but eventually I'd have gone, "No, you just need to tell them."
Yeah,
I think I would do that. But it would you were just like, nope, I'd just go and tell them.
Yeah, because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, I get that. Okay. You're an art handler, and your job is to ensure precious paintings
it's
are delivered.
Very close to what I'm normally described as that.
Isn't it? Yeah. You are an art handler.
Okay.
And your job is to ensure precious paintings are delivered securely. When transporting the Mona Lisa, you accidentally drop your coffee on her face. What would you do?
And you know something?
Yeah.
There's every chance that I would do that.
Do you know, as soon as I read that, then I thought, this would not be beyond the realms of Mark if that was your job. And what would you do?
my first port of call would be wondering whether I could clean it up.
I was going to say, because going by what you would do, you'd just go, sorry, I've spilled coffee on
your face. I'd try and mop it up, see if I could get away with it. Yeah. But if it was quite obvious that I wouldn't, then that's exactly what I'd do. I'd put my hands up and go.
My instant thing would be, I'd be like starting to wipe and... you could just imagine all the
face. You just get worse.
The face would just be smudging.
And then Mark would be looking for the terps to try and clean the coffee off.
Isn't it on a Mr. Bean film?
Yeah. I think it is.
He does it, doesn't he? And he draws it with markers.
It starts off with Mona Lisa and it'd end up looking like The Scream.
Mark, what would you do?
Similar. I just tried to you know wipe it up and say, I mean it's a bit similar to that woman. This happened to a woman, not the Mona Lisa of course, but it happened to a woman in a gallery probably about 10-15 years ago, can you remember? And it was like a woman with like fuzzy hair and she's tried to restore it. Can you not remember?
I need
to show you. If I showed you a picture you would definitely she tried to restore it.
Yeah.
And and it just it, she made a complete mess of it. In fact, I don't know if Mr. Bean got the inspiration from this. I tried to clean it, but then I just don't up and go, I've spilled coffee on it.
Wow. Well, I would 100%, I would go on the, oh, sugar, I need to fix this. I would genuinely, I probably wouldn't even touch it. I would try and take it to an artist and be like, right, you've got a day. I need you to make that look right. Paint over it. Do your best job of repainting over that and make it look right. There's no way I would go up and go, by the way, I've done this. No chance. I'd try and cover it up.
Wow.
Yeah, I would. I would take it to an artist and be like, you need to cover this up. Make that right.
Any particular artist or just one one?
Me.
Will, you mean somebody
I'd
from B&Q?
I'd probably be in Dout Street looking for any art dealers I could find to say, can you give me the contact of a really, really good artist that's good at doing paintings of the Mona Lisa? Yeah. And then that's where I go.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, last question. You want to break a world record with the minimum amount of fuss and effort. What would you do?
Probably some sort of eating challenge.
All right, okay. What is it? So not as much as you could eat of something.
Yeah, like the amount, like how many of sausage rolls you could eat in 10 minutes or something like that.
I bet someone's already broke that world record, haven't they? Well,
yeah, do you mean you can't break it again?
No, I know. But I'd be going down the route of...
Is he here now? He's backpedalling.
No, I'd be going down the route of finding one that hasn't already been broken, therefore would make it very easy to...
All right, no, I get what you mean. So, like, if there's not a Guinness...
You're going to create a record.
So it could be eating, but he could pick... I don't know. I'm going to eat the most sweet corns in the fastest amount of time. I don't think anyone would have done that. But it's just picking something that's probably a bit easier to achieve than going, oh my God.
You need to be something a bit more obscure, 3,000, like
somebody
who's eating the most human eyeballs.
Yeah.
It's probably unlikely.
Yeah.
Sweet corns, probably, quite close to the top of the list of things that have been done, Rob.
Maybe.
Were you looking at me?
Yeah. You're in the podcast.
Least amount of effort.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was funny because I watched a program about world records only recently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a little bit. I mean, there's some world records where you got, that's impressive. And then there's just stupid ones like, a guy that's sort of done like, world's fastest, sofa or something because he's put a motor in a sofa and he's gone like 40 miles an hour on it.
Yeah.
Now, 40 miles an hour.
It weren't Guy Martin, were it?
It could have been.
It sounds like something Gary Martin would do.
Absolutely.
I mean, 40 miles an hour is not fast, but nobody else...
It is on a settee.
It is on a settee, but and nobody else has done it. And I'm like, well, that's not really a world record. It's just that nobody else has done it. So I'd do something like really stupid where nobody's done it, like put a motor in a dustbin or something and go, right. Yeah, I mean, world's fastest dustbin. Do you know what I mean?
Least amount of effort. Have you got that much engineering skills to be able to do that?
Well,
he'd drop a mortar in it and he'd be like, why is nothing happening?
But the key to that, I mean, yes, I know the question is least amount of effort, but it's one that I wouldn't want to do like, well, climbing up so many mountains or whatever, because I do something that where I know
yeah,
I'm going to get...
quite obviously probably the complete opposite
yeah,
of what
I
you're
know,
trying to
I know,
achieve.
Yes, but I'm saying I know that nobody else had done that. So right. I'm even if I go 2 miles an hour, I've got okay. record.
Mark? You know.
Least amount of effort?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I reckon they're awesome. I mean, I used to have them for Christmas and I've still got them. Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've read in, but I've seen some in there where I've gone, there's been no effort to that. It's just that nobody else has done it before.
I bet there's a Guinness World Record for like someone who spent the longest time in bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there will
or
be.
Something like that.
It'd be yeah. something silly, and you just have to be careful where you left it, of how many toothpicks you could stick into a sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just stupid, aren't they, some of them?
Just to go on yours, I've just searched the Guinness Book of World Records for sausage rolls.
Oh, yeah?
And actually, they're not that great. I think okay. you'd stand a chance here,
okay,
Kirk.
What we got?
So we've got the longest sausage roll by length.
Yeah, that's to make it. I'm not yeah.
Well, I'm just
going
to tell you what it is yeah. now. I'm just interested to know.
Well, Kirk will
eat it. A joint called King Pie in Fairy Glen, South Africa, set the record with a sausage roll 111 metres long. On 25th of June 2005, farthest throwing catch of a sausage, not bothered.
No.
The most sausage rolls eaten in 1 minute, 10. You could smash 10 in under a
well,
minute.
Are we talking party sausage rolls or Greg sausage rolls?
There'll be Greg sausage rolls.
Well, funnily enough, the next one is most sausage rolls eaten in 30 minutes. John Dawes, known as Dawsey, and a YouTube competitive eater consumed 21 Greg sausage rolls in 30
right.
minutes.
Now, that's one that I could probably not beat. I'm not going to say that, but that's yeah. one I'd rather have a crack at, because what I struggle with is eating like really fast. So like trying to eat in less than a minute,
yes.
I'd struggle with. But yeah. having 30 minutes
yeah.
and knowing that I'd have to eat one sausage roll pretty much a minute,
yeah,
I'd have a go at that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Can you have a I'd drink have a go between them?
I guess so. As long as you consume as many as you can.
I think I have got one.
Go on then.
Oh, here we go.
I'd see how many of these I could do in a minute.
What were they called? I can't remember. What they...
Armpit farts, aren't they? Armpit,
yeah, but weren't there a name for it?
You can stop now, Mark.
He's still... He's,
when the adjudicator's
Mark,
not here.
Mark, well, you do know we're not doing the world record right now. Oh, hang on. Phone's ringing.
Hold on. Helicopter's coming.
Yeah, hello.
Helicopter's coming. What's...
Hello.
I did quite a lot, didn't I?
What's his name?
Annika
they
Rice.
They used to do Guinness Book of World Records. Oh, there were Norris, two of them, weren't there?
Roy Norris McGuirta.
What?
Roy Castle.
And Norris McGuirta.
Were he before him?
No, Record breaker.
Roy Castle was just the presenter.
Yeah.
Norris McGuirta was the official from the Guinness World.
Oh, right. I
do
just
you
remember,
not remember Norris McGuirta?
No. I just remember him and her out of Making Your Mind. Oh, that's ABBA. What were that other British band?
Making Your Mind up is Bugs Fizz.
Bugs Fizz, that's what I heard about. I was right.
Cheryl Baker.
Bugs Fizz, Cheryl Baker.
Yeah,
it was Cheryl Baker and him, weren't it?
Do you know they're still a thing? They're still touring, but they're just called The Fizz.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other guy's got the name to Bugs Fizz.
Yeah, Buck.
Time at the bar, please.
So mine, I think, given how bad I am at playing Call of Duty, I'd have to go for the quickest kill.
What? Being killed?
Being killed.
All right.
On Call of Duty. Because, genuinely, I'm absolutely terrible. And I think I could actually win that. You
what
know?
Is the record for the most number of arm trumps? Armpit trumps?
Give me a couple of seconds.
What?
It seems like there's been some confusion around your question when you asked what's the most number of arm trumps. It's not entirely clear. Are you asking about the most arms that Donald Trump has? In brackets, it says he has two, like any human.
He's got two.
Well, it's a good job he
checked.
Thanks
for confirming that. In fact, he says he has two, like any human. Or perhaps you're referencing a phrase like Trump's arms, which could mean cost of arms associated with the Trump's family. Or is it a humorous or metaphorical question? Trump's in a guard game or something. Could you clarify? No, I ain't got time.
And we think AI is going to take over the world. I mean, it's not, is it? It's come off.
Well, speaking of Trump and his arms, shall we spin the wheel?
Yeah, let's spin it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, it's spinning. it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Ooh. Come on. He's nearly there. The Wheel of
Features. So there was nothing from last week because it was on this day.
That is correct, Mark.
It was.
Yeah. I've never done this bit.
No.
Never done that bit.
I know. Shall we spin the wheel?
It seems like you've never done that bit. Yeah,
I've never said this bit. Let's spin the wheel.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey!
Yoskirk!
Plot puzzle.
Yay!
Plot
puzzle.
Five words. One answer.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
You can't handle the truth!
I'll be back.
Plot puzzle.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Come on, Kirk, in your best announcer voice.
Right, guys, so you know how this one works. So it's
platform two.
It's, I'm going to give you five words.
Yeah.
And it's describing a film.
A film.
A movie, okay.
Are you ready for the five words?
Ready. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Madness, authority, rebellion, confinement, liberation.
Ooh.
So the five words are madness, authority, rebellion, confinement, and liberation.
They're very wishy-washy
I'm
words.
Thinking, straight away, I'm thinking around Star Wars.
Okay.
I'm thinking Star Wars, but would I have to give the actual title of a film?
It's too wishy-washy, these words.
I'm going to say, because there's loads of Star Wars films, isn't there? I'd just Star Wars, A New Hope.
Okay.
Madness.
Can you say the words
confusion.
Again?
Confusion.
I can say the words again.
There's nothing there jumping out.
Madness. Authority.
Authority, sorry.
Rebellion. Confinement. Liberation.
Ooh, I'm changing my answer. I'm going for Mad Max.
Okay.
I'm not overly committed to this answer, but it's just one that there's some of it could stick. Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
Have a guess.
Go on.
Pick a film.
Porridge, the film.
Is it a film?
The film they did a film of it.
Oh.
It's called Porridge, the film.
All right.
Well, have a think about it.
It's only because of confinement.
I'll let you know next week.
Yeah. See you next week, boys.
Thanks,
boys.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.